one of the unofficial brews of Kayak Fishing Radio, the Sweetwater. It's Thursday night. I'm Chip Gibson, the tree hugger, your host of Kayak Fishing Radio Thursday. And it's starting off as a quiet night. Had quite a bit of rain here in the ATL. A little bit of a light show last night, some thunderstorms moving in. We can talk about the heat all day, but it's here, and we're looking at a tropical storm coming up the coast of Florida. Oh, man. So, but we're going to talk kayak fishing tonight. I got with me on the line is Rob, the Bad Backcast DeVore. Hey, Rob.
How are you, man?
I'm good.
Hey,
I'm good.
And by the way, I've been keeping an eye on the tropical storm there. It has downgraded.
Is it?
And yeah, the mountains of the Dominican Republic tore it up pretty well.
Kicked its butt, huh?
Yeah. So it looks like it's right now it's not even a tropical storm or a depression or anything. I think it's like a low pressure system or something.
Really?
Anyway. And they don't even think that it's going to get close to the east coast of Florida anymore. I mean, it's pretty much they keep moving that track eastward. So
yeah, the big high pressure that's been the dome over the southeast here with all the heat and everything is, you know, that spins clockwise on a high pressure zone, and a low pressure spins counterclockwise. So when they get together, if the high is bigger than the low pressure, the storm is just going to climb up the outside of it. So, but
yeah, it was having some problems with the wind shear and getting going and everything. So,
good
to see.
I just pulled it up here. It says Emily degenerates into a trough of low pressure. Heavy rains continue over Hispaniola.
Yeah.
And the hurricane in the Pacific there, Eugene, is no longer a hurricane. It's out near the Hawaiian Islands, so.
Good deal.
No big deal. Maybe some rain and stuff, which everybody can use a little bit of rain, right?
Yeah.
And actually, the National Hurricane Center said they've last advisory issued on Emily. So, cool. Well, that's good to know. There's not a big issue there, and I mean, you know, that tropical storm that went into Texas, they were like, everybody was like having a party. Yay, it's going to rain finally.
Yeah. So. It's been one heck of a summer, man. But, you know, August is here, and, you know, that's usually when the tropics get fired up with all sorts of this activity. Kind of keep an eye on.
That's right, but, man.
I don't know, you know, but... You know, there's something kind of cool about hurricanes, you know, too. You know, when you're here and you're kind of stacked out on the couch watching all the local developments and stuff. I don't know. Sometimes I think that's cool.
Yeah, that's it. But, we always look forward to it when I was a kid, man. And I grew up in Miami and Hialeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I went through plenty of storms from 60 to 74 when we moved out, so... And just joining us here on Buzzard's Row is a man who can urinate excellence and make a Barbie pole dance to the tune of a redfish. Mr. Redfish Chuck, how are you this evening, sir?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
All right. So I was trying to be creative there. So.
That was pretty good.
So... In the chat room, we've got a guest, 8031. Welcome to you. And if you'd like to join in on the chat, you can sign in, and it'll let you type into the chat room. We got LGB in there from Chucktown hanging out, trying to stay cool. And so kind of a quiet night here on Kayak Fishing Radio. I think, you know, this is the last week of summer, so I think everybody's out, you know, hitting the road the last chance they get before the youngins got to go back to school. Except for you folks in Florida, you don't start school until after Labor Day, right?
Yeah. I believe they go back they go back like the middle of August or the end of August. I'm not really sure. I don't have any kids, so I'm not sure.
Chuck, you got one getting ready to start school, don't you?
No, he's still too young. He just turned two this year. But, no, I think registration for our county schools just took place this week, so I would imagine they'll be going back to school, if not next week, the week after.
Yeah. I think there's some state law says they have to wait till after Labor Day because of the tourism stuff and all. So.
Hey, when I was over there in Titusville, that town, I seen the one-room schoolhouse.
You still getting hate mail from folks in the South there, Rob?
Only once in a while.
Well, it's just been kind of a slow week. Lots of stuff going on, at work and all. So I haven't really had a chance, and the heat has just been oppressive. So not too much opportunity to fish here.
I don't think you sent the invites out when you created your event.
I sent everybody else's out. I probably didn't send mine out, did I?
I only noticed that I was the only attendee on the event.
Oh, were you? Were you?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I did them all in a bunch there on Saturday or something. That's okay. That's all right.
And I wanted to ask anybody, I mentioned this on my show the other night, if you guys don't want to get those invites from me when I send those out every week, please let me know. I know it seems like that there's a kayak fishing radio invite coming to your inbox every single day. And I won't send them to you if you don't want them.
Right.
So I kind of feel, I don't like, I feel like I kind of, like I'm spamming people or something. You know, if you're interested in the show or something, I'm more than happy to send it to you.
Right.
But yeah, if you don't like it, don't, just let me know and I won't send you one. It's cool.
That's right. I will. Or Chuck will.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're a nice guy. I got 500 and something Facebook friends, and every one of them gets a every one of them gets an invite.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, I don't want to make people mad and have them block us and stuff. So.
Right.
I just I don't like to blast people too hard with this stuff unless it's something really important.
So, well, we'll have something coming up important next week, hopefully. If you're listening to the podcast and you get an email from Kayak Fishing Radio, make sure you get the answer back to me. I'm waiting on a couple of responses from nominees for the Angler's Choice Kayak Fishing Awards. And I would like to, my goal was to identify, contact each individual who was nominated, make sure that they were willing to play the game, and let them understand that there was no responsibility or, any kind of legal things, that we're just doing a kayak angler's choice. You know, everybody is going to get a chance to vote on their favorite kayak fishing angler and their or the ones that were nominated. But if I don't get a response from you, if I send you an email asking you to respond saying that you were nominated for one of those things and I don't get a response for you, I'm not going to put your name up there. I don't want to use somebody's name that may not want to play. So make sure you get your responses back into me, because I'd like to open it up next Thursday and start voting and see where we go with it. And so those will be the Kayak Angler's Choice Awards 2011. Yours truly and the hosts of Kayak Fishing Radio are not eligible. And the owners and proprietors of YakAngler.com, Yak Angler or Kayak Fishing Radio are not eligible for awards because we're counting the votes and we want to be fair. So even though we may be your favorite pastime to tune out the noise at work and listen to folks talk about kayak fishing, we're not putting ourselves in the running for those awards. But this should be fun. It should be some. There's some interesting people that have been nominated, and if I was out there and I was a guide or something, and even Chuck, he had to drop all the nominations that he received to become one of the one of the chosen few to get to host a kayak fishing radio show, but you were nominated.
Hey, you mean really? they don't have to appear on like I figure if like angler of the year or guide of the year, they have to appear on a kayak fishing radio show like no less than 8 times in that calendar year, you know, or something.
No, and then I got a response from one of the guides, and he's like, "So you mean that I don't have to send you $750 in a Western Union MoneyGram and give you my PIN number and my account number?" I said, "Nope,
that's
none of
awesome.
That. None of that." And you know, and it's cool because these are folks that you fish with every day or whatever, and they think well enough of you to nominate you as the best kayak angler or the best kayak angler guide, and then there's all the products. There's some, you know, the categories for innovative products and the best kayak fishing forum, except for Yak Angler. Because we put out one category for kayak angling journal, you know, so there's kayak fishing magazine, there's kayak Angler magazine, there's kayak, what was the other one? There's like 4 that I didn't know, that I knew of 2, but there's like 4 actual you know, published magazines or journals for kayak fishing. So but we got a couple of products and stuff, and then the kayaks themselves. Like I said, it was kind of interesting to ask folks what their favorite kayaks were and stuff like that. But and the ones that came in, I mean, we've got a pretty good diverse group of kayaks and people's choices. And in most of the categories, I was talking to the Yak Sushi Man the other night and about how we were going to set up the voting. And for the kayak anglers and the kayak guides, those people, like I said, because I needed their consent to play the game, there will not be any write-in options on those. But for the products and the kayaks and stuff like that, just in case somebody missed something or they didn't like the options available, there will be a write-in slot in the other categories, plus a couple of extra categories that were recommended. So if I got like 3 options for a new category – and I felt that they were actually related to kayak fishing, we decided that we would go ahead and include that as a new category along with a write-in. So trying to be fair about it, but we just want to see what folks out there are thinking about. And we've got a pretty good range of listeners across the U.S. We've even got some folks in the U.K. and New Zealand and Australia that listen to us. And so this will be fun, but we hope to open up the voting next Thursday night right here on this on Kayak Fishing Radio Thursday, and then we'll let the voting go for, I said 60 days, but we'll see how it goes. If it really dies off, you know, then we'll sound last call and get everybody's votes in, and then we'll publish the results, so it should be fun. So, what's in the news today? Not much. What's going on this Saturday, tomorrow, or Saturday morning, Panama City, first Saturday fishing, kind of a pickup tournament that Linda Cavett and the folks at Sun Jammers are putting together. So if you're in the neighborhood, I had planned on trying to make it down there, but I got the word this week. I got to go out of town on Sunday. I got to fly to a conference up in Cincinnati. So I know, right? But I wish I could. I should.
Can't those things be like in the Keys or something?
I know. I mean, the place I work for, they actually have a facility in Puerto Rico. You know, it's like, can't we do it in Puerto Rico? You know, I mean, I could go down there, and, you know, but then they would be quite sure that I would be playing hooky from the meetings and stuff because I'd be out on the water fishing. So I should probably try to get a hold of Kayak Fishing PA there. Might not be too bad of a drive across over to go fishing. But But they've got a plan for us all week long. I won't be back until Wednesday night. So, but that's what's going on there. But anyways, so I was talking about the first Saturday kayak fishing tournament, kind of a pickup tournament that the Panama City Kayak Fishing Group and Sun Jammers is doing down there. So y'all check it out if you're in the area. Great bunch of folks to fish with down there. Linda keeps giving me grief that I won't drive 5 hours to come down to one of their first Monday or first Saturday fishing tournaments. So, but what else is going on? We've got the annual meeting for Georgia Kayak Fishing, which is coming up here shortly. And I believe that is going to be the weekend of the 18th. I'm thinking it is, but let me check and see here. But that's coming up, Georgia Kayak Fishing. Yak Angler, we're getting, let's see, what do we got now, about 4, 5, 6, in August, September, through the weekend of the 7th in October, which is Columbus Day weekend, and the Chuckdown Boondoggle, which we'll be checking out. We'll be going there and seeing with fishing with LGB and Scuba Stan and all.
What day are you leaving?
Myself, we will probably head up there on Friday. So probably probably leave on a Friday and to get up there, set up camp, and then, you know, we'll start fishing Saturday morning, fish through, probably leave Monday afternoon or so. I think
I'm debating whether to fly to the ATL and go with you, maybe hitch a ride, or just fly to Chuckdown direct.
I would do whatever's cheapest, but you're certainly welcome to do either one. I mean, have you checked the flights? You know,
yeah, it seemed like it was about $50 cheaper to go directly to Chuckdown. Believe it or not.
Well, then no. I mean, if there's a direct flight from Tampa into Chucktown, go ahead. And I'll throw the, like I said, you want me to bring the fishing dive for you, right?
Yeah, sure. I don't care if it floats. And
I'll bring you the Venus.
You know, I can say a Venus. I don't care, really, honestly. As long as it'll float and I can paddle it, I'm happy.
Yep. The fishing dive will definitely float, man. So, but yeah, we'll throw them all on the trailer and head that way. I'm debating whether or not to carry the scooters up there. So, but if I take the scooters, the wife will come because she likes to. She's not that much into kayak fishing, but she'll join us and. And then she'll ride her scooter around while we're out fishing. So, and I see.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if she can handle the backcast.
Is that right? It's a bad backcast, right? Yeah. And joining us here on Buzzards Row, Mr. LGB. How are you, sir?
Hey guys, how are you doing?
All right.
All right.
You just couldn't stand it. You had to call in and talk to us about Copahee Sound and the Chucktown Boondoggle.
Yeah, I sure did. And I was telling Stan that I was looking at some of the forums here in town, and the same weekend of the Boondoggle, there is a Heroes on the Water tournament at Copahee
Sound.
Oh,
no way.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that might be something people that are coming into town might want to check out, and maybe we can get them involved somehow, but I believe it's October 7th through the 9th. But you can, I don't know if y'all go to any of the local websites, but I think there's a post on charlestonfishing.com and southcarolinakayakfishing.com. I think there's a guy, I don't know his real name, but he goes by Nikon Jedi on the local boards, and I'm sure you've heard of Tommy Samuels, Too Busy. I think he's involved with it too. But that might be something y'all want to check out. same weekend as Boondoggle.
Cool. What do you think there, Jim? Jim?
Yeah, yep. Sorry, I hit the mute button. No, that sounds cool, and you know, Jim Dolan has joined us several times here on Kayak Fishing Radio, and I show on there, it's the first day of the multi-event, starts on the 7th, this is on heroesonthewater.org, Jim Dolan and those guys, they do good work. I'm showing them at Fort Bragg, Cape Fear. And I don't see something. I don't see anything on there, but
let me double check my.
Yeah, I'm seeing an Oak Island tournament.
Computer. Let me see.
The NCKFA is the guys hosting them there. Another bunch of fun guys. So. But yeah, if they're there doing something, man, we'll go over and help out and say hi and all that good stuff. That'd be fun. No problem there.
Third annual Redfish Shootout. I'm just reading this off the website. Third annual Redfishville Shootout for Heroes on the Water. Friday, October 7th. There's a captain's meeting. I guess they're going to kick off on the 8th. It might be the local chapter doing it.
What website are you on?
This is South Carolina, SCKayakFishing.com. They have a Heroes on the Water section on their forum.
Right.
And that's how I found out about it.
Cool.
Let's see, the third annual Redfishville Shootout for Heroes on the Water will be coming up October 7th and 8th, barring any hurricanes.
Barring any hurricane, that's right.
Yeah, but so. I think just from what I've read, they always have a big turnout for that. According to that post, they had 30 kayakers in that tournament last year, so going to be a lot of little boats out there.
we could sure show up and play.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If it's right there, man, might as well.
So now I wonder if that's going to affect our ability to get some campsites there at the KOA.
I was thinking about not just that, but if anybody was coming in and looking for a boat rental, I know that I think there's a, well, the place I've rented one from before there, Mount Pleasant. I don't know if you're going to have a lot of people coming in that weekend and renting boats instead of bringing them. That might be something people might want to look at.
Yeah,
I haven't done too much research into that, but I imagine that will put a strain on boat rentals that weekend.
Yeah, I'm waiting on an order of stickers to come in, but I was going to send Scuba Stan a stack of stickers and have him send him out on a recon mission to talk to the local guys and stuff and see if we might get some demo kayaks or something over there. But if they're doing an event like that, I hope we don't conflict. Certainly, we could always just show up and do the tournament. That'd be cool.
Oh, yeah.
I hear that that's a good time of year to be fishing the Sound.
Yeah, it seems like the cooler weather that starts coming around, that's when it, just from what I've read, I'm not very familiar with fishing inshore. This is my first year messing around with it. And,
yeah? Have you been back out on the water?
No, I haven't. It was scorching last weekend, and I did not get a chance to go out at all.
Yeah.
It was just bad. And coming up here in the next month or so, our hunting season starts, and so that's gonna be a conflict with me right there. I'm usually in the woods between August 15th and the end of December. But
you're a Bambi chaser, huh?
Yeah, I'm a Bambi chaser, and so you know,
Chuck,
I try
we're
to squeeze
talking about
everything.
Deer, Chuck, not skirts.
Oh yeah.
Chuck's probably falling asleep there. Yeah, I actually I did my master's degree, and my primary species was white-tailed deer. I did wildlife ecology, environmental science, and I got to a point where, you know, it's kind of like if you work in a chocolate factory, you would get tired of eating chocolate. And in the span of 3 years, I think I probably put my hands on about 1,000 deer. So I kind of had enough of it. you know, if there's good fishing, man, it's not hard to be distracted.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and you see some of those guys out there, like Rob, I think Rob Choi said he was going to try to show up for the event, and probably, who else? Lozier said he would try to make it, and some
Chad
of the
Hoover,
other
guys. I thought.
Yeah, I think Chad's going to try to show up. So
Adam, Adam's coming?
Yeah, Adam from Yak Angler. And then maybe some other folks, because I know when they come in from Kentucky, they all pile in the van, you know, and head that way. These guys were a trip last when we went down to Tampa last time, and they had a rental van and they had kayaks just strapped to the top of it, no rack or nothing. The best off road vehicle in the world is a rental car, right? So.
Yeah, that's right.
So, but anyways, yeah, it looks pretty good. I've been, you know, scoping out the sound there on the Google Maps and Google Earth and stuff like that, and looking at it. It looks real fishy place, man. It kind of looks like a little Central Atlantic. It's not all. Completely surrounded, like the lagoon, but it looks pretty fishy. So I'm pretty stoked to get a chance to get up there and fish it.
Oh yeah, when I went out with Stan and them, it was low tide, and it was awesome because there was crabs everywhere, and when I was paddling to meet up with them, I got there kind of late, and so they were out in the sound, and he kept calling me on the phone. He's like, "Where are you at?" And I said, I'm heading your way. I'm just being a little slow. I'm just playing around with this boat and getting familiar with it." And there was fish, you know, there was shrimp jumping everywhere. I felt something hitting me on the side, and I looked down, and there's shrimp in the boat with me. They were just breaking the water, and fiddler crabs everywhere, and look down under the boat, and there's blue crabs crawling around. You could just almost reach out and grab them. And flounder. I had a couple swim under the boat. Yeah, just a very, very nice place. And there's oyster beds everywhere. Stan let me borrow a rod and reel. Fortunately, it had braided line on it because I was over fishing along the bank, and the wind kind of caught one of my cast, and I'm not really good with a spinning reel, open face, and it kind of got away from me, and it got back up in the oyster bank, and I had to kind of untangle it and stuff. But there's oyster beds everywhere. There's deep water, shallow water, real skinny water. It's real nice, place.
See any tailing fish?
Yeah. There was fish busting everywhere. We were trying to fish for the redfish, but it seemed like they were catching more like little sharks than anything. I guess the key to that place is you have to fish when the tide's right, or when the water's moving. I think that's when they're. From what I've read, the red fishing's really good. But I saw some fish busting out of grass going back into the grass when the tide was coming back in, and we had a real nice ladyfish jump out of the water and in between our kayaks, and she just kind of skipped across the water. That was a sight. And But it was a fun little trip. You know,
good.
I didn't know what I was doing, but it was fun.
You just paddle along, man. Act like you know what you're doing. It's fine. I just saw Kayak Kevin. He jumped in. He was in the chat room there for a second, and he disappeared. So I haven't seen him in a while. So kind of neat to see him. If he comes back on, we'll try to get him to call in and see what he's been up to. Yeah, so that sounds good, man. I think that we're going to have a good time, and that's going to be the weekend of October 7th. I said I'll be pulling chocks here in the ATL and headed northeast on a Friday. We'll be up there probably, hopefully Friday sometime before dark and be able to get camp set up. I think we're planning on staying at the KOA campground there. Just and that's right on the sound.
How long does it take to get there from the ATL, Chip?
I think it's about a 5-hour drive. Yeah, 45 minutes.
Oh, you're talking about, I thought you were talking about flying. My bad.
No. No,
oh, okay.
I don't.
Oh, from Atlanta to Charleston, probably about 5 hours.
Yeah, I think it's about a 5-hour drive.
Well, 5.5 if you got the kayak strapped to the top. Yeah.
No, I got the super kayak kayak trailer, man.
Oh, you're pimping the trailer, huh?
That's right, man. We got the torpedo tubes on it and everything, man. With all the stickers and stuff, you know. Redfish Chuck hooked me up with all kinds of stickers and all, so it's like totally looks like some kind of kayak pro fishing machine coming down the road. I just need some metal flake on it, and it'll look really sharp. So.
Then they see me sitting in the back, and then they're like, "Oh, it's just them."
I think I'm gonna try to put another level to it, you know, so I can stack some more kayaks on the top, but and. And then maybe put a chair back there or something, you know. So, but
you know, it's amazing that the kayak fishermen seem to be very innovative when it comes to rigging stuff up to suit their needs. Because I've seen like all these different trailers that people make, and Northern Tool and Harbor Freight. You know, they sell these little trailers, and these guys are modifying them to suit their needs and. It seems like that goes with anything, you know, for kayak fishing.
That's the fun part about it, man.
They say, well, here's some PVC. Let's make a rod holder. Let's make make this or make that. You know, that they'll take an office crate and make a fishing crate. It seems like they very innovative group of guys.
That's cool.
Like MacGyver.
That's right, man. We are the MacGyvers of fishing. That's the best part. I mean, really, because you know you don't need a whole lot of money to get involved in it. I mean, I know guys that have just gotten some pretty inexpensive boats that they've been able to get a hold of, and you know I see guys in whitewater sit-insides that they rig up and go fishing in. That's a great thing about it. It doesn't cost much. You get a little ingenuity. You can take anything in your garage and turn it into a piece of fishing gear. So, but
I like the camaraderie of it too.
You what?
I like the camaraderie that kayak fishing brings.
Yeah.
It's cool because like, you see people with kayaks on their cars and stuff, and it's always kind of like that, you know. You always give them a wave, you know. No matter who it is, it's kind of cool.
What's up? Yeah, it's kind of like the Harley wave, you know. Hey, what's going on, man?
Yeah.
You got a kayak, you know. I got those stickers all over the back of my Jeep, you know, and stuff. And I'll be driving to work or coming home from work in the afternoon, and somebody in a pickup with a couple of kayaks in the back will pull up alongside and blow the horn at me and stuff like that. So, but yeah, it's cool. And like Chuck says, I mean, there's not to mention that we caught, you know, a couple hundred fish the last time we fished with Chuck down at the Goon. But just the fun of it all, yelling back and forth at each other, and I mean, you would be so surprised the way we were catching fish, and then it wasn't any of this shh, be quiet or anything like that. I mean, we were just yucking it up all over the place, laughing at each other, yelling at each other. I mean, it was just way too much fun. So If we could have just got paid for it, then it would have been a great day.
If you could have got paid, like, paid for fish, you know, per fish.
Yeah, or, like, if Mark Landing Crew would have realized that a 19-inch trout would have got him points on Kayak War.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, like, I think in order for him to get points, wasn't it, like, in that region, it was 13 inches or 15 inches?
Yeah.
And it was, like, we caught how many hundred of those things that day,
I know.
You know?
We were catching all these, you know, 16, 18-inch fish, and they would have all been legal for his region for Kayak War.
I know.
It was too
fun.
It
was great. And the one legal fish that I had swam off my measuring stick. That was when I learned to leave them hooked up until you get the picture on the
fish. That's right. Absolutely. You want to make sure that they're all stacked up, man, before you go letting them go there. So, but that is the fun part, Chuck. You're right, man. It's the camaraderie of being out there and fishing with everybody. I mean, even the last time we were, let's see, when we went to the South End down there, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't one of those epic days, but it was still fun.
Well, see, I always look at, yeah, I had a blast, man. But any time that, you know, you get epic days like that, that's what always keeps you coming back, you know.
Right. Oh, yeah. So, Chuck, have you had any epic days lately, man?
Dude, I haven't had any days lately.
No days?
No, man. I haven't had time to do anything. I did fish, last week. I fished for the first time in forever. And, all right. I mean, the water in the lagoon right now is so freaking hot. So, I haven't really been able to get on top of any schools of fish. The fish are all pushed off into deeper water. And the water was really, really dirty, so there was no sight fishing involved. It was pretty much just blind casting. And I caught a couple of reds, got three reds, forgot my measuring stick at home again. Awesome. And, lost the biggest trout I've ever seen in my entire life, and that fish still haunts me. Actually, I think I had a dream about it last night. And, you know,
how big?
The more you guys are, I don't even really want to talk about it, to be honest with you. It was a giant. My biggest trout I've personally ever caught is 34 inches. And
Wow. This
fish far exceeded that. Like, this is the biggest trout I've ever seen in my entire life. Honestly, when I first hooked it, I thought it was a snook. And because of the way that he took off from the mangroves and peeled a bunch of line off my reel. And I didn't know what it was until I got him kind of slowed down a little bit. He came up and shook his big old yellow mouth at me, and I started shaking like a little school kid. I didn't know what to do with myself, and that's the first time in a long time that I've gotten nervous while hooked up with a fish. And I think I let my nerves get the best of me. I kept telling myself to leave the drag nice and light and don't try and force the fish, and if he wears himself out to the point of exhaustion, that's fine. Just get your hands on it, take a look at it, take a picture of it, just so you know you caught it. And made a couple of runs after I got him close to the kayak, and finally I got him back to me, and he rolled up on his side, and when she did it, man, all I saw was just silver. And I've got pretty big hands, and I couldn't get my hands around it. It was just, I mean, it was a
wow,
giant fish. And she, like, shook her head twice right next to the kayak and ended up throwing the hook. And I just sat there, literally just drifting away from the mangrove in which I caught her or hooked her from, just drifted away from that for like 15 minutes with my head in my hands, just couldn't believe it. It's like one of those things that just kept replaying over and over and over again in my head, like, oh, what could I have done differently? And, you know, and I don't like landing nets. I'm not a big fan of landing nets. I think that in some cases landing nets do more harm than good. And so, For a guy like me, that I don't keep anything unless it's like a flounder. I'm going to definitely keep them flounder, but trout and redfish, they all go back. So the least amount of physical contact with anything I can do for those fish is my way of doing things. So, but, I mean, a lipper wouldn't have done it. It was just one of those things, you know. I don't know. But I guarantee you that fish was well over 10 pounds. It was the biggest trout I've ever seen in my entire life. Crazy.
Wow.
Absolutely crazy.
That's awesome.
But the good thing is is I do know that trout are very, very territorial fish, and especially giant gator trout like that. So the chances of that one have left that, having left that area are slim to none. And I bet you she's probably still hanging out somewhere in that general vicinity. So the hunter in me says that I need to go back because she's probably still wandering around that area. So I'm definitely going to make that a point to try and fish that spot pretty hard in the next couple of weeks and see if I can't get a second chance.
Is she in a pothole or on a ledge?
Right up underneath the mangroves.
Yeah, okay.
In fact, right where we put in at Beacon 42 for the epic day,
right?
I paddled out of that cut that we paddled out of to go over to the east side.
Right.
And I actually fished all the way over to the island where we caught all those fish. I fished in behind that island, all the way into the very, very east side of the lagoon, and push-pulled most of that, and never even spooked a fish all morning.
Wow.
So, yeah, so it was definitely a dead day. It was just I couldn't find a fish for nothing. So I made my way back towards the ramp after catching a couple of those reds. And then remember, I don't know if you'd be able to remember or not, when we went north out of Beacon 42, we went north.
Right.
In between the islands there.
Yeah.
Well, there you have the first island right there you come to, and then there's like a sandbar in between the next one, and then it goes on up, and you have a cut that goes out.
Right.
That sandbar is now underwater by maybe 10, 12 inches.
Uh-huh.
So I was able to float across it, and when I come across it, the way that the mangrove shoreline on that island is kind of shaped, it like came right up to the deep water. So, and the wind was coming out of the south, so it was kind of blowing the water into almost like a little bit of an eddy right around those mangroves.
Nice.
So it definitely just looked fishy, and it was one of those things that all day long I'm looking for something that looks fishy, and I didn't see anything. And I finally come across this scenario, and I was like, God, there's got to be something laying there. I threw up underneath the mangrove the first cast. I'm just, you know, slow rolling my bait back to me. Got a couple of good bumps, and I was like, man, that's a trout. Threw back in there again, another couple of bumps. I'm like, man, either the same trout or another good trout.
Right.
So down here, especially on my coast, I don't know about over at Rob's, but those big trout, sometimes they're real lazy about feeding. They'll come up and kind of mouth the bait a couple times, and then they'll clobber it, or they'll just mouth it and figure that, I don't want that, and spit it out. Well, my third cast in there, it was like slow motion, perfect cast, landed like maybe 6 inches outside the mangrove, skipped right up underneath the mangrove limbs, almost all the way up to the back where the shoreline was. So it was like a perfect skip. And I got it maybe 8 inches off the bank, and the water just blew up. And the fish come running out in front of me, and I lost it. So, like I say, I know the general area where that fish was at, so I'm going to get back in there and try it again.
Sound like you Kevin Van Damme'd it, man. You just pushed it right up underneath of there. Oh, that sounds good.
Oh, it was, like I said, it was probably one of the best casts I've ever made in my entire life. And the whole thing, it was a really cool experience. And regardless whether or not I lost the fish or if I would have landed the fish, I had it hooked up for a little while, and I got to see it, and that part of it's still fun to me, even though it's frustrating to not have been able to say, wow, fish was, you know, 37, 38, 39 inches, close to 40 inches, whatever. It was still really cool.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
All right, so when are we going back down to the goon there, Rob?
Anytime, man. I'm ready.
Yeah,
I know that when the weather cools down a bit, I'm definitely in the planning stages of taking a trip over there. My buddy Keith keeps asking me about the 200 redfish day. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, they do that every day. You know, that's an everyday thing over there, man. So
way to put the pressure on me, Rob.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, I'm kidding. I'm trying to get a ride over there, man. Come on.
You know, I'm thinking.
Give me some credit.
I'm thinking that if we don't make up our mind about a spring thing in the Keys, which that's a long trip down there. I mean, I'm thinking that spring to the goon might be. How's the goon in the spring there, Chuck?
It's actually really good.
Yeah.
I like fishing the lagoon all year round, but it's definitely more challenging when the water gets warm. The spring's nice because you still have some cool mornings. Keep that flat nice and cold and let those fish stay up on it a little bit longer. But no, anytime you guys can make it down here, we'll get you on the fish for sure. It's just a matter of, whatever works for you guys. I definitely prefer, my favorite time of the year to fish the way I like to fish is definitely the winter time and springtime and fall. Fall, winter, and spring. So, but I'll tell you what, the more you guys keep talking about this boondoggle up there, it makes me want to really try and work that thing out. I don't know how in the world I'll pull that off, but, you know, how far away, I know it's kind of like, doesn't make sense to drive north to come back south, but how far away from that is, like, Carolina Beach up in North Carolina? Is that a ride to Charleston, or is it?
What do you say, LGB? You're the local there.
I've never been up there before. So
really?
I'm not quite sure. Where's that? That's up, Outer Banks?
Yeah, it's just outside of Wilmington, North Carolina.
I think Wilmington's about an hour and a half on the other side of Myrtle Beach, so maybe probably about 3 hour drive, maybe.
I might be able to pull something off if I make it a family trip.
Well, you got Ken up there,
my brother, for a day or two. Yeah, my middle brother lives in, I guess it's Carolina Beach is the name of the city. I don't know.
Okay,
but,
yeah.
Just outside Wilmington there, over on the coast. And
south.
Yeah, I'm trying to get him involved in kayak fishing, as a matter of fact. And he called me the other day, and he's like, hey, man, found a great deal on some kayaks. At least I think it's a great deal. It's two Native Ultimate 14.5s for $900 for both of them.
Two?
What?
Holy
yeah.
cow.
And I said, buy them?
Yeah.
Buy them now? Buy them yesterday? I'll come pick them up from you and pay you for them?
Did he get them?
He called them. They were sold.
Of course. Yeah.
That's what I said. I said, man, don't even... Listen, if you even have a question, don't even question it. Just buy them. And in worst case scenario, I'll sell them for you. I'll get rid of them for you. But
yeah,
man, something like that doesn't come around very often.
Unless it's got a hole in it, a 14.5 under $1,000 is a good deal.
Yeah, for sure.
And two of them under $1,000 is...
I couldn't believe it.
That was fake.
The paddles and everything.
They were just tricking some poor wayward kayak fisherman into showing up so they could shake him down and pinch his gear, man. Holy cow, two ultimates.
Yeah.
Is it cowboy time there, Rob?
Yeah, man.
So, I just looked it up for you, Chuck. It's about a 4 hour drive to Wilmington from Charleston.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
like I said, though, I mean, hey, honey, guess what we're going to do? We're going to ride up to Wilmington to see Dom. Oh, that's awesome. And on the way back, we're going to just so happen to stop at a campground.
There you go. Yeah, man. That'll work.
So,
oh, look, all my buddies are here.
Yeah,
weird. What a coincidence.
Hey, if you see, like, a dude hauling a kayak on, like, a green Malibu Stealth 12 on wheels up I-95, you know.
Stop and get you?
Yeah.
That's funny. She might think something's weird if I pack a tent, you know.
Yeah.
Load up the tent, load up all the sleeping bags. She'll be like, what in the world are you doing? We're going to your brother's house. We don't need
Why are you putting kayaks up? Why are you putting kayaks on the roof?
Right.
Oh, no. She knows that if we go to Wilmington, I'm bringing the kayaks. Trust me. I've already Google mapped that place. I know that place probably as good as I know Mosquito Lagoon.
Dude, there's all kinds of fishing spots up and down the coast there, man. You'd be driving up, once you get out to the coastline there on 14 and stuff, you'd be like, hang on, we're going to take a break. You guys want to stop for a break? Yeah, and drop a kayak in the water, you know, and at the rest stop there. So.
Yeah, hey, you never know. We'll see where I'm at with my other endeavors, and perhaps it'll work out where I can film something while I'm up there.
Well, I had an offer by the local GoPro representative. I asked him if he could loan us a half a dozen or so GoPros to use for one of the boondoggles. And he said just to hit him up about 30 days out so he could set it up for us. So we might have a bunch of GoPros to
that would be awesome.
Yeah, it'd be fun. You know, I got a couple of them, and we get a few more out there. You know, and I don't know that one Palmetto group. They're like they sell like light poles and stuff like that. That I know Juan from Kayakfish PA. He's buds with them, but they put online a thing on how to build a. It was a PDF file on how to build a mount for your GoPro or for your camera that fits into a rod holder. And it's pretty simple. You just buy a little monopod thing from Walmart there and switch some things around and stuff, and you got a nice little camera mount for your kayak. So. Or a three-quarter inch piece of PVC pipe with a bolt in it.
Actually, Yak Attack just came out with what they call a panfish, which is a camera mount that fits on the back of your kayak.
That's pretty cool.
Wherever, I guess. I don't know if it goes in a scupper hole or what, but
right.
It looks like a pretty cool thing. I love that GoPro stuff. I mean, I don't know. I researched a lot the camera stuff before I saw those, and it's like you can't touch a 1080, you know, a high def camera for the price, and, you know, waterproof and shockproof and everything proof that thing is. I mean, that's a really great camera setup, and I'm been researching it, and probably in the near future, if I can pull it off. The thing that worries me the most is not being able to edit, because I know that stuff is very, very touchy. As far as like editing, and if I could afford a Mac, I would go get a Mac and just be like an editing, you know, fool. But
keep your eye open on their refurbished page on the Apple Store.
Yeah, I have, and it's still a little bit out of my price range, you know.
Even for like a mini Mac.
I looked at now mini Macs are in my price range. However, I don't know if it's going to be able to do everything I needed to do.
Oh yeah, I got a mini Mac that I run the show on. I'm on the PowerBook now on the MacBook Pro, but but the regular show I usually do that all on the mini Mac, and the mini Mac it's awesome, man. It'll do everything you need it to do with the GoPro.
Well, and it's got the two the ones I've been looking at. They are in my price range. It's 2 gigs worth of memory, and I don't know, I think I want to say 350 gigs of hard drive, and which is not very much when you're dumping, you know, 720 and 1080p files on there, you know, to edit. But that's good to know. That's definitely good to know, because I would love to outfit my kayak with, you know, about three of those GoPros and have a blast with that, man.
Yeah.
You're too ugly for that.
Well, you know,
you just see the back of his head, man.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you the one thing about the GoPros is that we lost one of mine at the last when we were doing the Special Olympics thing. Zach Yak had one on his head, and with that little head strap thing, and he did a backflip off of a paddleboard, off of a stand up board. And it knocked it off of his head. He had it cinched down pretty tight, but it jumped off. It came off of his head, and they don't float. So if you're, you want to have, I mean, just a little bobber on it or something, you know, like one of those little Nerf balls, you know, that. And you just have that hanging on, just have it tied to it. I've added them to mine now because that's all you need. Just to get it to float at the surface there so that you can grab it if it comes off of your head, because you would think there is airspace inside there, but they're not buoyant. They'll sink to the bottom like a rock.
Yeah.
So
my buddy built a tether for his, my buddy Josh, who does all the freediving stuff.
Right.
He built a little tether for his that just clips right onto his wetsuit. And he's actually in the process of, I believe, making me one so I can just tether it off to my shirt or whatever. Because you know what, man? Sometimes you just forget it's even on your head. Not
yeah.
that it's that light. It's just that you're just not accustomed to wearing a camera mounted to your forehead
right.
on a regular day-to-day basis. So, like, I'll take my hat off to adjust it or whatever like that, and it'll just whoop right off the back of my head, and I'll catch it, like, behind my back style or something like that. So, no, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yep. Yeah, you
now,
do. You'll lose it.
Go ahead.
No, I'm in.
You know,
good.
No, the it's definitely I mean, those things are great as far as, like, all of the videos and everything I've seen with it. And from what all the research I've done and everything, having a Mac for editing is, like, the way to go. And then that just makes it easy. And as
right.
long as
yeah,
you can...
you just download
as
it straight
long as
to the Mac. You don't have to
right.
worry about... You don't have to worry
exactly.
about doing any of the...
Converting
overhaul.
And rendering
right.
and all this other stuff, yeah. So that's the thing that I'm worried about the most is being able to edit. So
if you watch on the Apple Store and they have that refurbished site,
right?
And you can pick up a Mini Mac from them. Usually, in fact, I'm jumping there right quick to see what they've got.
It just plugs right into it's like a tower. It just plugs right into a regular old monitor and everything.
No, the Mini Mac is like it's like the size of your modem. It's small.
Yeah.
And it'll work on any. In fact, I think when I first got mine, I plugged it in. Just had a regular Acer monitor, you know, that was that had 1080 capability. It was a high def monitor, and you just plugged it in, and it worked fine, man. You used regular keyboard and all that stuff. It recognized it all because the Macs that have been made since like 2008 or so have Intel processors in them. So.
Right.
In fact, when I telework at home, I sign in on my Mac and it uses a Windows emulator, and it runs Windows better than a Windows computer does.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen like some of the great videos that they've made on, you know, the GoPro site, you know, with all the surfing and all the, you know, skiing and skiing off a cliff and everything
yep.
else. I mean, it's just, those are some awesome videos. And I know that I can, I haven't quite seen, you know, a really good kayak fishing video yet. You know, at least, you know, not on the official GoPro site. They have one. It's
right.
kind of intermingled with duck hunting, you know. But I think it would be, I could really make a killer kayak fishing video, you know.
Well, I think if we'd had, like I said, if I can get the GoPro guy to loan us a half a dozen or so, and we just wear them around, just like when we were there at Little Talbot Island, you know, and then you get somebody that's a little creative to sit down and edit it all together, I mean, that would make a great show. Because you just, I mean.
Oh, I know.
Just think of just our little slog back, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there was some really funny stuff. I mean, it's just guys out really fishing, you know, not some of the, because I know that, you know, I know like Randy and Randy Vining and some of the other guys have gone out and done those shows and stuff. And I mean, they'll spend a whole week to get, you know, 20, 30 minutes of good video to put together on a show. So anyways.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm excited about it. So that's why I'm doing my research. And it's
there
just,
you go.
You know, it's just one more step on the blog thing, you know.
Yeah. All right, man. So we're at our hour here, and been kind of a quiet night. That's okay. Like I said, it's the end of summer, and the heat's pretty much got everybody down. But I know, Rob, you're headed out for some tarpon this weekend.
Yes, sir. Going out the always popular out the inlet, and going to hang around off the beach there and see if can get some silver kings swimming by. Now, you know, the last time I did this, got out there, and there was a nice school of greenbacks out there that were out there the entire time. I mean, for hours, you know, they didn't move. They were just kind of right there outside the inlet. And here comes the pod of tarpon, and here they come. And I got, you know, I got bait out there, and I'm, like, ready to go, and they swim right past everything. And then and nobody ate. And I was like, well, wait a minute, wait, where are you going, you know? And I'm, like, you know, paddling down the beach after them, you know. Those things, they get moving, man. They're not just lazily rolling along, man. Those things are moving. So hopefully I'll have better luck this time.
Well, I think the game plan that we were talking about there before we went live this evening.
Yeah.
You've got a pretty good game plan set up there. Why, you know, hit that outgoing tide, and I would probably, if I were you, I might pick me up a bag of chum to hang off the side of my kayak, and that way there you get a little slick going out, and then probably take your sabiki rig and get you a couple of pinfish, you know, because if you get an opportunity to throw bait at a tarpon, You might want to have two or three options for him, you know? I mean, wouldn't you agree, Chuck?
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I would have, like I said, that's the way most of the guys I know down in the Keys, they go out, they hit that outgoing tide, they find it, they got their favorite channel, so everything's getting flushed through there. They take some shrimper's cull and get a little slick going, and then you just freeline a pinfish or a crab or a greenback right out there in the middle of your slick, and then just stand by, you know, and it doesn't take much to get them involved. And even if you don't get the tarpon's interest, you're probably going to pick up a king or a nice shark or something like that. So, and be careful with the sharks when you get the tarpon up next to the boat, because the sharks know when the tarpon's most vulnerable. So.
Well, I'm definitely geared up for it, man. I'm, you know, got the big gun, the big broomstick, ugly stick, and the big Penn 6500, and the you know, spinning reel, and an 80-pound, about 10-foot worth of 80-pound leader, and 65-pound braid. So I'm not messing around. I'm hoping to, if I do, you know, I want something around the 80-pound range, and hopefully I can whip it quick. And send them off real fast before, you know, because all of this stuff with the, well, you know, we fought it for an hour and a half and everything, that fish is dead, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you can revive it all you want to and everything. That thing is done.
Well, especially with the heat. You need to be
exactly.
Real careful with them in the heat. So.
Well, yeah, and all, but, you know, tarpon is, you know, can handle the warm water a lot better than some other species, but I like to get them. I like to get them done. That's why I kind of, you know, I mean, I run 20-pound on my trout rigs and stuff, you know, 20-pound braid, because I like to get them in quick. I don't like to sit there and, you know, yeah, I could use 10-pound braid or 12-pound braid and stuff, but I like to get it over with fast, you know.
Yeah.
Still give them a chance to swim off, you know, at the end.
And don't forget to take a tow line with you. Because if you do wind up fighting one, you want to make sure that it's in really good shape when you release it. So you need to have a tow line so that you can have your buddy tow you while you hold onto the fish and keep its head up so that you can tow him through the water and get some fresh water over his gills to keep him going there. So, but you'll need a tow line so that, you know, he's not trying to hold onto your boat, you know, and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So,
you beat me to it.
Say again?
I said you beat me to it. That was going to be my next comment. It was going to be the exact same thing.
Yeah, you need to be able to tow the guy with the fish so that you can revive him, right? And, you know, and you always have the opportunity. You keep him in the water like that. You tow him up to the beach. You can jump out of the boat, get a nice picture with him. And then you can just kind of walk him along the beach and get a good release on him, that kind of thing. So, well, good luck to you.
That's my plan. Yeah.
And don't forget your camera.
Thank you. Yes.
And that would be a notable first log on Kayak Wars, man. Would be a tarpon.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's what. I just don't know how I'm going to measure it though. Like, I mean, how?
You know what?
You just
do like everybody else does. Today I got a 7-foot rod and it's half that long, so 3.5 feet, man.
Right.
So,
yeah.
That's how you measure it. Okay. All right. Okay. Chuck, how about you, man? You going fishing this weekend?
I'm going to try and get out. I don't know what my work schedule looks like as far as my time I need to go in or the time I get off, but I'm going to definitely try and go. I want to, with the storm having broken up, I'm going to keep an eye on that. But depending upon the ocean conditions, I might be doing a mothership trip.
Very cool.
Yeah, my buddies just went out today, and they were out fishing on a big boat. They didn't have kayaks with them. But they were able to chum up 20-pound red snapper all around the boat, and they had a big Jack Crevel around the boat. They were mainly diving, and while they were diving, their buddies on the boat were chumming to try and bring fish up so they can catch them on rod and reel.
Yeah.
And while they were diving, they shot 400 pounds of flounder and the cobia and various other creatures. Oh, yeah. Listen, man. The flounder right now off our coast is absolutely ridiculous. Every fish averages somewhere between 6 and 12 pounds. And
those are doormats, man.
Oh, yeah, they are. It's just ridiculous. So it's definitely made me think about going and getting dive certified so I can go down there and stick a bunch of them myself. But, yeah, I'm going to try and see if I can make it out. Depending upon what the weather's doing and what the ocean conditions are. I know that ocean started to kind of pick up a little bit this afternoon. But the water clarity was really good. Guys were seeing schools of red snappers 50 foot below the surface. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. If that's the case, then that's what I'll be doing.
Even if you get a little bit of storm surge, like you said last week, man, you'll get those mangroves in. They'll come in a little bit.
Oh, yeah,
of storm.
The muttons and mangroves will move right in. And, yep. You know, we'll see, too. Like I say, we'll see if we might get some rain from it. And if we get some rain, then my options might completely change. I might hit the river and fish the culvert pipes in the evening hours for giant trout and redfish and black drum and snook and tarpon and everything else that cruises around the river. So we'll
all
see.
Right. Sounds good. All right, guys. Well, have a good weekend, and we'll see you. Let's see. Chuck leads off the week and with Redfish Chuck Monday, and Rob follows on the Tuesday. We read it with our West Coast show, and I'll make sure you tune in, see our folks over at yakangler.com, check out Rob's blog at abadbackcast.com. If you're down in the Titusville area, stop in at Handler's and see Chuck. He's there. Put you on some fish, and we'll see everybody next week. Tight lines, take a kid fishing. That's all for this time. See you next week.
See you.